HarperCollins presents Watch Over You by M.J. Ford, read by Joan Walker. James, 4 months earlier.
We're just the same, you and me, said Grady.
James looked at the shriveled man sitting beside him, with his toothless gurn and beaten-up trainers that smelled of piss. He was eating a pasty one of the street pastors had bought him, and he didn't seem to care that there were baked beans dripping down the front of his coat.
No, we're not, James thought. I'm nothing like you. Resourceful, you know, Grady went on.
Beside him, his dog, Biggles, wearing a set of fluffy reindeer antlers, lifted an eyebrow hopefully as flakes of pastry fell onto Grady's legs. He brushed them off.
Survivors, right? Just because you're still alive doesn't mean you're not dying.
James had no idea of Grady's age. He looked 70, but he might have been 30 years younger. That's what decades on smack and dashed hopes would do to you. A cold December wind whipped along the street where they sat, and James pushed his hands into his armpits, hugging the green field combat coat more tightly around him.
Fuck, it's cold.
Grady didn't seem bothered as he chewed.
This is nothing, lad, he said. When we was on the boats, we had a warrant officer would get us out on deck in our undies on Christmas Day. Not a word of a lie.
James didn't doubt it. For all his repulsive traits and crippling addiction, Grady was pretty honest. They'd met at a soup kitchen run by ex-servicemen a few weeks ago, and since that day he'd bumped into the old Navy boy several times and couldn't shake him off. He quite liked Biggles, who attracted more than his fair share of kindness from the public, especially with the antlers, but Grady's endless tales of life on the high seas made James's blood boil.
One fella got frostbite on his bloody cock.
Grady chuckled to himself at the memory, then offered the remains of the food to James.
You want this?
No, he said, taking in Grady's tattooed fingers and yellow nails. He stood and stamped his feet, trying to get the blood to flow into his freezing toes.
Going somewhere?
Asked Grady, handing the scraps to Biggles. James spat on the ground.
None of your fucking business.
Only asking, said the old man.
He looked afraid, his eyes watery under his woolen hat.
I need to get warm.
If I were you, I'd head to the library then. They keep the heating on.
And if I were you, I'd do the world a favour and kill myself, said James.
Eh?
Go to the top of the multi-story and throw yourself off.
What's got into you, lad?
You, said James.
He nodded.
Give me that hat.
No,
said Grady.
Give me the hat, or I'll stamp your fucking dog's head in.
Biggles, sensing the sudden animus, whined, the very tip of his tail wagging timidly. Grady reached up slowly and pulled the hat from his head. James realised he'd never seen him without it. Beneath, his hair was wispy and grey over a scalp, scabby with eczema. He looked every day of 70 now. He offered the hat to James, who snatched it away.
I thought we were mates, lad.
James left the old man mashing his gums and wandered out into St. Anne's Square, where the tourists milled about under the festive lights. He put on the hat, feeling instantly better. He'd never been good with the cold, and it was worse since he'd returned from abroad. The library wasn't a bad idea, but there were cameras everywhere, and he needed some cash urgently. So he went instead to one of the chain coffee shops. As usual in the middle of the day, it was filled with mums and their pushchairs, queuing for their skinny caps or whatever. It smelled of mulled spice. No one paid any attention to James, and after a show of looking at the menu board, he lifted the purse from a bag hanging over the handlebars of one of the buggies crammed in by a table of gossiping women. He was in and out in less than a minute. Round the corner he checked the contents beside the back door of a Chinese restaurant kitchen, air thick with rich, savoury smells of garlic and ginger. 65 quid, bank cards and the like. There was a picture of a bloke and a baby, their noses touching. He kept the cash and dropped the rest in one of the restaurant's dumper bins. A guy in chef's white stuck his head out of the door and shouted at him to clear off. On exiting the alleyway at speed,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?